Hey, I found this Chan site.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
We're two lifelong nerds here to drop some knowledge about geek culture and video games and stuff. And
we're here every week.
Every week, 9
just
to 10
for you.
Wednesdays. You know, we've got a slew of backlog shows online if you want to check them out. We have a website, Bear. What is that website, Bear?
Exppoints.com. Remember to double tap the P.
We're also on social media networks like Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus and YouTube. You can go to exppoints.com/social to check out all of them, including Steam, Patreon, PayPal, iTunes, Stitcher.
I still want people to give us money
everything.
On Patreon.
Because
I want to write a poem about you.
I want to bake a cake, I think is one of them. We can bake a cake. And say your name while
is
we
it
do
a pretty
it.
Cake?
We have to think, you know, it may be something where you give us a dollar and then you get to come up with some dumb thing that we do within reason.
Within reason. We can't put it on the internet if it's not within reason.
We can't put it on with, well, what? No.
What? Not, there's not unsafe things on the internet?
Don't go to some parts of the internet, my friend. We are going to cut to a song, come back and talk about what we did last week. This is Goof by Binar Pilot. You're hearing it here exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU. Hey, I found this Chan site.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Goof by Binar Pilot. We're going to talk about what we did this past week. Bear, please continue. Go.
What'd I do? I did nothing that a normal individual wouldn't do in their own apartment, whose landlady definitely doesn't listen to the show.
What did you, you know, foreshadowing aside, what did you do?
What did I do?
Did you cross the stream? Did you dream about the Stay Puft Marshmallow
Stay Puft,
Man?
Who thought of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
It was Ray.
God, Ray. Anyway, no, I didn't. But he would be invited to this party.
Uh-oh.
I constructed what's called a Rubens tube, if you know anything about physics.
A Rubens tube.
Does have anything to do with a sandwich. Stop thinking about food. I know what you're thinking.
What is a Rubens tube?
So what it is...
In the most generic basic term.
First off,
terms.
Take a field trip, go over to LIGO. They'll explain how waves work to
That's
you.
That's in Livingston.
Livingston. Laser Interferometer
Brave
Gravitational
Livingston.
Observatory. Yeah, we have a giant laser it's worth. It keeps the rednecks at bay. But anyway, no. So what it is you basically just take a tube, whatever, and you attach a flammable gas to it, say propane.
Okay.
With right. your propane accessories.
Very cool. And with your adapters and your linkages.
Yeah, and your linkages, and you get it in there, and you put some smaller holes all down it, so the propane comes out the smaller holes, and
okay.
You put a diaphragm on the other end that'll move a little bit.
Like a speaker?
No, not like a speaker. Like, you just need a diaphragm. I use duct tape, actually.
Okay.
Worked well. And then you close the tube, you light it up, so you have all these like little candle-looking things, you know, like a birthday cake.
Okay.
And then you drop the base.
Okay, so...
And then what happens is the diaphragm moves on the end and changes the pressure inside the tube, causing the waveform to generate through fire. So basically, you ever seen a visualization?
Yeah, I had Winamp.
Yeah, you have Winamp? Yeah, open up Winamp.
We had Winamp.
Whip the llama's butt.
We can't say it.
Thank you. Actually, isn't Winamp dead, or did they come back?
Winamp's dead.
I thought so, man.
They died in, like, version...
Hold on, I'm sad. Okay.
Nostalgia.
Oh, wow. Anyway, no, it's really cool and very dangerous inside your apartment. I don't recommend you do that.
Very cool.
And also updated Windows 10 to the latest build, and it broke all my Steam games.
I'm sorry.
So this is what happened. When I don't have games, I make fire.
Wow.
That's what happens.
That's the trade-off?
Yeah.
It's kind of going backwards. Like, shouldn't we have... We already have fire. We're in control. We've mastered fire.
I've mastered it with wubs.
And then, well... Fair enough.
That's how much control of fire we have at this point.
I am interested in seeing this.
You have to come over and see it.
It should be interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, I want to stand far away from it just in case.
Yeah, okay. What, you don't trust me?
Compressing gas in a tube and then lighting it on fire. I don't know.
It's a normal, you know, Wednesday night for me.
I've built spud guns like potato guns before. And,
but you never lit in a tube on fire and played music through it.
No. I sprayed hairspray in mine and go poom.
And go poom.
Foom. It's got a foom sound.
So what did you do last week?
I didn't make a
potato gun. Mr. Adventurer?
You know what? Last week was awesome. So I picked up a new game.
Nice.
And I picked up Life is Strange from Don't Nod.
Oh, yeah. I've been actually wanting to play that.
It's a very good... It's nothing like Remember Me, which is good, because I know you liked Remember Me.
I liked Remember Me. There's parts of it I didn't like.
Right.
But like the stupid mini games.
I did not like Jerks. Remember Me, but for Don't Nod's first or arguably second game,
mm-hmm.
Wasn't bad. And it was very French. And
very
fine.
French.
And they're a French company. No, so Don't Nod Entertainment made Life is Strange. It's a 5-part episodic type of.
That's, you know, always worked well in the past.
Yeah, it's exactly, you know, it's all the good things out of Walking Dead from Telltale. And okay. With a caveat of you play a girl, Maxine Caulfield, who can reverse time. That's the shtick. That's the gotcha. She's in high school. She's a photography student. She's got all of the small town problems that a small town next to the bay would have. Oh, and she can reverse time.
I don't know about no small town problems now, son.
She can reverse time. There's an impending storm. And anyway, it's a good little...
There's a storm coming, Mr. Wayne.
It's a... wow. It's a... It's about 2 hours. I think I played
two hours
for one episode, and that was, I think, $5 or $20 for all five. They're gonna
okay, so they're already out? Or
no, they're
gonna,
like a season
pass.
It just came out January 28th, I think, or 26th. It's only about like less than a week. It is going to be 6 weeks, and then the next one's going to come out, and then 6 weeks, so on and so forth.
So they actually do have a schedule. At
they
least.
Do have a schedule.
That's always been the problem with episodic gaming is they make one or two, and they're like, well, we're done.
Yeah. The
Sin
Episode 2 couldn't happen. Half-Life Episode 3 couldn't happen. So this is a really, really good it was a really good game. You know, nothing revolutionary, but it was nice. It runs on the Unreal Engine, and yet it uses really simple graphics.
When is that new Unreal Tournament coming out?
I don't know.
I know they were talking about it the other day. I would look it up, but the internet in this room is as bad as it is at your apartment.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a sound dampening room.
You have a
Because it's a sound dampening room, it's also an internet dampening room.
I know.
Because the internet's really waves. We established that last episode.
All right, we're going to do an entire series.
Go to the show.
You're going to learn some physics if you listen to us long enough.
Now, I also fixed all of my video gaming problems that I was previously having. A RAID 1 array. For my data. So I had two separate drives, and I just made sure to back up frequently, all the time, in fact, to a 2 terabyte offsite. Like local, but offsite.
Local network, not inside the chassis.
Right. I replaced my hard drives. I copied the data back over, and it was awesome. Now I can finally RAID, except that with Windows 8, when you already have it installed, for some reason you can't put that in an array with an SSD on my motherboard. It's a motherboard thing that wasn't supporting it. The SATA controller wasn't doing it. All that geeky stuff aside, that means that if you can't do hardware RAID, you have to do software RAID.
Right.
Which is
what I kind of recommend anyway.
Yeah, it's better. Because
especially if you're running Windows.
It stores the config on the drives.
Because what happens if your motherboard dies?
Yeah, exactly.
You're done.
Exactly. You're done. All your data is gone. So if you
Windows knows it's on arrays. So.
And it actually, I reinstalled Windows and it picked it back up. So I did something called storage spaces. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Storage spaces is what Windows 7 and Windows 8 uses and what Windows 10 will use. Storage spaces essentially says, oh, this is going to be a pool of disks. We're going to make it. Say you have two 2-terabyte disks, you'll just have one 2-terabyte drive, and it will spread across both of those disks. So if one of those dies, you'll be able to recreate it.
What's actually really cool about that, if you jerk one of the drives out, it'll still recognize it as a single drive.
That's nice.
Yeah, you can actually take the other one and throw it in another Windows computer. It sees it, same data, you know, because they RAID one.
Oh,
and then if you put them back together, it rebuilds the array.
Very cool. Well, yeah. I guess the primary, the one that you didn't yank out.
Right.
Fun
facts.
So that's how I got around it. This is all context. You built it up. I have my C drive and my D drive. All my games, all my Steam stuff's on the D drive, which is 2 terabytes. My 64 gig SSD is tiny. So I install Elite Dangerous. I install Steam. I install that. All my games work fine except Red Faction Guerrilla and Elite Dangerous. I've talked about this. It was because it was on a storage space drive. As soon as I put it on, I have run it on D drives and E drives and everything, and it worked fine whenever it wasn't storage space. And I never thought about that because you don't think about it after a while. You just see the two drives and they're on your computer. As soon as I moved it over to the very precious space of SSD space in my C drive, worked like a champ. Fantastic.
That is interesting.
So I don't know why. I don't know what the two Frontier and whoever took over Red Faction did with their code.
Right.
It does not like Red Faction doesn't like external drives. Elite doesn't have a problem. Elite's just with storage space drives. But Red Faction also hates storage drives and external drives and storage space drives.
Interesting.
Don't have any idea why.
Like I said, I'm still trying to figure out why. I was trying to play Fallout 3 last week and it gets to the launcher, you hit play, and it just disappears. The process just goes away.
Put it on your C drive. See if
I'm gonna try that. Because I have more than 64. I have like a 256 SSD. So
yeah,
I'll try it.
Try it because it may work. And if it does,
I will be astonished and confused.
That's what I did though. We're gonna cut to a song. We're gonna come back. We're gonna talk about our nostalgia little moment, our retro stage. This is Endless Fantasy, the Laserdisc remix. This is actually new stuff. Anna Monoguchi posted it to their Facebook and Twitter today. So this is Endless Fantasy Laserdisc remix from Anna Monoguchi.
It's very relaxing.
You're hearing it here on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You just heard Anna Monoguchi with Endless Fantasy, the Laserdisc remix. Really awesome new stuff from Experience
Points. Brand new awesome stuff.
Yeah, well, not from Experience, for Experience
Points. For Experience Points.
We didn't make that.
We didn't.
We're not Laserdisc. We're MG and Red
Bear. Man, but do you remember Laserdisc?
Laserdisc was awesome. So fantastic. It was like a shield.
You know, that is the best way to get the original Star Wars series.
Is it really?
It's the highest quality you can possibly purchase.
Do you have a Laserdisc player?
I do not. The school we went to. I wonder if it's out there in storage. It's been decommissioned.
It's
and we
in
can
surplus.
Get it. We can probably, if it's surplus, let's try to get it.
We
work Star Wars.
We could find one.
I bet
Laserdisc Star Wars is so expensive.
I guarantee it. It was the audio and all is like. I'm not gonna say uncompressed because I mean there's some compression,
right. But as lossless as
it can be,
very cool.
On a giant. Thing that looks like it goes in a vinyl player.
Contrary to what we're talking about right now, we're not going to talk about this.
That's not our retro segment.
This isn't our retro segment. We're actually going to talk about it's going to be sort of like this arbitrary big picture type of marketing for video games in the 90s, I guess 80s and 90s. But I remember, and we were talking about during the break, they used to try and sell video games with mascots.
Yes.
And we had a few choice mascots. We had Mario, of course.
Obviously.
And Luigi.
And Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot, Star Fox, Sega had Sonic.
Right.
And there were a few other failures.
And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, that's the characters from the game. No. These were mascots.
Yeah,
like, they had like full-on mascots.
It was
suits. Like
Big Bird. Like you'd see like a Muppet version
of Crash Bandicoot.
A
commercial would come on
TV
and it'd be like people doing a thing.
Yeah.
And suddenly a mascot of like Crash Bandicoot would run in and do another thing.
Yeah. It
didn't really always make sense.
The same thing happened with like the Kool-Aid guy. They had like an actual guy dressed up like the Kool-Aid guy burst through this fake wall and it was this big giant thing. So I mean, it's sort of like a stem off of that, a very similar type of
experience.
Yeah,
but that was like all advertising in the 90s for
us. Yeah. Well, that was the video advertising.
That's what I mean, video game advertising.
And then box art, this was...
art was a thing.
There's some famously bad box art. Mega Man, it comes to mind. The original Mega Man type of box art was literally like this monkey of a man, this like super hairy chimpanzee looking guy with a weird helmet and a dumb yellow and blue suit holding a gun.
Yeah,
and Mega Man is not that at all.
Like the game.
Right. Thankfully, in later versions of the game
and
art.
And before MG gets stuck on Mega Man and his hatred of the art on the original casing, another problem was the art on a lot of cases was really nice.
Yeah, it was like artistic.
It was artistic. And well, a lot of it was computer generated.
Right.
But then you get the game and you plug it in and like, what?
Right. An 8-bit game can't look like, you know, an artistic representation of whatever that character looks like.
And I will say the only company that really kept up with what was promised on the cover was probably Square Enix.
Yeah.
And even then, like, there's an obvious drop in quality, like, between pre-rendered and...
Because whenever you pre-render things, you know, I mean, we had already talked about graphics used to be so bad that you had to pre-render it to have any real story, any hope of having a good story.
Yeah, which is a great thing the Final Fantasy series always did, was they had these cutscenes that were beautiful.
Right.
Like, even today, they still look good.
Yeah, they're good enough to be their own movie, and I know there's a lot of fan edits out there, and, well... But yeah, so advertising in the 90s was so crazy. So in the 80s, they went so far as to advertise at game at these like game conventions or these game tournaments or things like that. So what a game developer would do, like Nintendo or Konami or whatever, they would develop a special version of the game specific to whatever contest or whatever convention or whatever you were at. And this was. I can't remember what the name of the guy with the power glove. It was the kid that played games all the time.
Oh, I can't think of
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it was a movie in the 80s. Anyway.
Pinball?
Pinball, the Wizard? It was the Wizard.
The Wizard.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. We're old.
We got it.
I'm pretty sure that was out before we were alive, so.
I hope so.
You know, it's not that
I'm just going to say it was.
We're only like 27 years old, guys.
God, you're 27?
You're about to be like 27, okay?
I'm 6, thank you.
Oh, yeah, leap year.
Barry years, get with it.
So, you know, you look at a movie like that, that had a special version of Super Mario Bros. 3. That was real. Things like that actually happened.
Right.
In fact, a lot of the most expensive games that you would have on the market today are Atari games, Nintendo games, and things that were super customized and never actually made commercially available because it was a type of advertising. Hey, look what we're doing. We're doing this really cool thing. We made a cool game. It was, you can't even get this, so come to this convention
and
play.
You can't even get it, so you have to come to the cons.
You have to come to the cons. And then later on, they were like, well, let's
I will say, not video games, but talking about not being able to get things.
Yep.
Samuel Adams Brewery did that to me when I was in Boston last.
Really? They said, hey, we got this cool thing. You can't have it.
We got this awesome brew. Here, try it out. You're like, my God, this is amazing. Where can you get it? Oh, that's not actually getting released.
Yeah.
And then you just cry for hours.
It's sort
of
like
carry
that.
Out
you know,
of the brew.
It's the equivalent of like a demo disc back in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was, you had to journey a long way to, you know, this mecca of a place, and you had to play the game there.
I like that.
It was definitely more social,
idea.
I think.
Yeah.
It's the same concept of like LAN parties. You know, you had to go to a LAN party to experience a certain thing, and now you just don't anymore. So
again, something that we can nostalgia on all day.
And that may be our retro stage next stage.
LAN party. Who can do LAN? Let's do LAN parties next time.
That could be
in next week to hear us.
That could be an entire
parties.
That could be an entire show. And
we're
it may
doing
be.
It next week.
But no, as far as advertising in the 90s, I just remember watching these commercials, and they were so they were so ridiculous. It was like one time Crash Bandicoot was in front of a, like throwing up money in the air or something. Star Fox was running down a hallway, and there was Falco
and
Slippy.
It had nothing to do with the game, by the way.
It was just ridiculous. It was crazy, and there's a lot of Japanese influence in these types of commercials. So they're written for a different type of audience and then loosely adopted for an American audience. And it was always funny. But it was never necessarily
made any
adequate
kind of
or accurate to what you needed to sell the game as.
Nothing in the 90s, as far as video game advertising, was what the game actually was.
I agree.
Just know that.
They were all, you know what was worse than like the live action mascots? It was like the live action real people mascots, like whenever Mario would come out. And they even some point, you know, they try to make money off of anything. They would create like the Mario and Luigi Super Time Show or whatever, where it was live action.
It was terrible.
And it would be like, Mario, what's the adventure for this week? And then it would be like a cartoon. And then there would be like a Barney, you know, a green Barney, which is supposed to be Yoshi.
Yeah.
I'm not fooled one bit. So
they
yeah,
just messed up that Barney suit and yeah,
the
got a half price.
The 90s was interesting.
The 90s was interesting.
I'm glad we're out of it.
I don't know. I like the 90s.
We
lots of good memories, dude. Pete and Pete. I'm little Pete.
Pete and Pete was pretty good. I agree. It was like one of those shows where you didn't understand everything it was about until after the fact.
And actually, I will tell you what Pete and Pete is about is your childhood. As you remembered it, not as it actually happened.
Oh, yeah, it would be
but
boring.
But, like, what happened in your head
that'd be
is what
if,
that show is.
If it was like I remember, or if it was like how it really happened, it was just his kid getting picked on, you know?
Yeah,
it was like,
that's all it really was. But, like, the show's about what was actually in his mind,
okay.
Like how he built this thing. Watch it again.
You'd
be like, man, that's how I remember it.
We're going to end out the segment. 90s. We're going to come back after this song. We're going to talk about a couple newsy things. This is Lightbringer by Pentakill. It's a League of Legends song. I hope you enjoy it.
You'll enjoy it.
I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Lightbringer by Pentakill. We're going to talk about some news stuff. Some news.
Get your news pants on.
I guess it's
going to happen.
It is new. There are new things happening, and we're going to talk about some of them.
About
some of them. Let's get kind of like the sad one out of the way because this one really sucks. Because we grew up with watching Red versus Blue. And
that was one, like, dude, that was amazing.
The Blood Gold Chronicles was like really, really good.
Why are we here? No, I mean in this valley.
Yeah, it's.
You want to talk about it?
There are a lot of really awesome series in Machinima.
And Rooster Teeth has really done a lot of great things.
Arguably, Rooster Teeth and Red versus Blue started the Machinima movement. Like
I'd get behind that. You know, they're at least the ones that made it good.
Yeah, they popularized it.
Yeah.
And
they
certainly,
may not have been the first. I'm not going to say they were. I don't know. But they're the first that did it right.
Yeah, it was definitely the most popular. I would even say right now, like if you YouTube or Suzuki Machinima, it's going to come up with red versus blue at some point. Anyway, there was another Rooster Teeth production called Ruby, R-W-B-Y, Ruby. It was a web-based anime series that was it was written, it was produced, and was created by this animator, Monty Oum. And he died the other day. He died
at a very young age.
He was 33. And it was really upsetting because he had this allergy, some allergic reaction to something, and died. And it was really upsetting.
Yeah, no, it really is.
Yeah, because, so you may not have ever watched Ruby.
I actually have. I've seen it.
I watched a couple episodes. The style wasn't really my type of style, but I did stay in for, I think, probably six episodes, like half season one or whatever.
Yeah, gotcha.
The very first thing that I had ever seen him from, and I think most people had seen this, was it was Master Chief, or seemingly Master Chief from Halo, and Samus from Metroid fighting, this super awesome kung fu battle against each other and then with each other. And in the end, like, they're both women. They're both super sexy babes at
Spoilers.
The end.
Spoilers!
And Master Chief's not really a woman, I don't think. Samus
I can't
is.
Tell them apart in the suits.
Samus
That's from the books, by the way.
What?
That's from the books.
Oh, you can't tell them apart in the suits? Yeah.
I think it was the Colonel or something says that.
But no, so Monty Oum did the Haloid is what it's called. And you can Google that or YouTube that Haloid, Halo and Metroid. So,
Get it?
It's a Haloid, it's a concatenation of two words.
That's a smushing together of.
But anyway, so heartfelt regret goes out to his family and the entire Rooster Teeth staff because 33 is incredibly young. We're almost 33. I mean, he's like six, but
yeah,
I'm almost 30. And,
But really, that's incredibly young and unfortunate, especially for an allergy.
No amount of half-life could have saved that. Not jokes aside, but.
It is a big loss, especially for the Rooster Teeth team.
Yeah, they have a lot going on over there, and they actually paused their normal release schedule as sort of like in memento to him. So that's unfortunate. Let's move on to slightly more, upbeat things. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did not.
You didn't?
I have a religious thing where I refuse to watch the Super Bowl unless I am at a party and it's playing in a different room that I'm not standing in, and I have a beer and a steak.
Oh, okay. A steak like edible steak?
Edible steak, yes.
Not like a wooden steak?
Maybe I need a steak to eat my steak.
Oh, okay.
That's how I eat steak. I only eat vampire steaks.
So Madden, we talked about Madden simulations predicting the actual outcome.
Right.
Well, that actually came true.
That again is crazy.
So it's awesome. People are like, well, this science, I don't need it. Science, I need my pigskins. Well, man, single person out there that says things like this.
Oh my God. And just remember that fantasy football is just D&D for jocks.
That's it. All it is statistics. That's it. So Madden was able to predict almost everything. I think it got within 27 yards, passing yards or whatever. It got a ton of statistics correct. Then got the final score, got the outcome. And that's just awesome. That's fantastic. John Madden.
What happens when you do science on math?
Somebody said, or somebody thought that John Madden was coding these things. Like it was actually John Madden making the games, and that's not true. John Madden does
not
program these. No,
but the Madden games do use the actual statistics from, I think, the previous season.
Right. Yeah.
And when they come out with the new version,
they do patches and they do updates. Yeah. So like if a player gets injured or whatever, and you want the latest update,
reflected.
You could get
so
that latest update.
All this real world data, it obviously works.
Yeah.
Hey guys, guess what? Science works.
Science works. Math works. Linear regression works. It's fantastic. There's all these models. It's really cool.
Models.
But speaking of which, good segue, fantastic segue.
You're welcome.
So during the Super Bowl, it's famous for their commercials and halftime, and arguably halftime antics. So it's halftime. Okay, it was Katy Perry, and people did or didn't like it. Doesn't matter.
I didn't watch it. Something with a shark happened.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Or there were sharks involved.
That's
dancing.
Fine. I'm not talking about Katy Perry.
Ignoring Katy Perry altogether.
I'm talking about Kate Upton.
Now, I did not see this during the Super Bowl. I saw this at the movie theater.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was probably a trailer theater. For something.
No, I did. I was like, dude, this is going to be an awesome movie. Very sexual, but awesome.
So let's
like,
set
not
the scene.
That those are
let's
exclusive
set
to each other.
We fade in on a foggy type of bath scene or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the bath scene, yes.
And Kate Upton's up there her boobies. In water, conveniently right above the boob line, and somebody comes and whispers something. Somebody comes and whispers something to Kate Upton, and she's like, She's like the, she looks like the mother of dragons. Like, she looks like Khaleesi at this point.
Yeah.
And so she stands up, convenient pan or whatever, and they're like she's dressed and they're putting armor on her in a rushed manner, and she's talking about something, but you don't
and,
care.
And by the way, she's very clean and in like white garb and stuff for all this.
She's
and
like battle maiden.
Yeah. She obviously doesn't belong in the surrounding. Kind of like, I guess they're going for like a goddess type of look
something
or something.
That. Like something clean, higher than queen. What's supposed to be around. She is the most important person in this room.
It's very clear.
People are running in. They're putting like armor on her.
And the most
sexualized. Yeah, she's super sexualized in this, but it's Kate Upton. That's like, she's a model, right? Like, isn't she a swimsuit model or something? Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, sure.
I think. Anyway, she's getting her armor put on by all these plebeians just running
Sports
around.
Sports Illustrated, that's where I've seen her.
And then, like, you pan outside, and there's, like, this giant Goliath of a monster smashing a building.
Like, oh, yeah, the Hydra thingy.
Yeah, and it was this cool super CG thing that looked good. They're smashing
a
building.
I'll be honest, a lot of production value went into this commercial.
I think it was, like, $70
million. Oh, wow, you looked it up.
Or $40 million. Commercial?
So they're
doing this. She gets on a horse, she's riding the horse, and there's some jiggle physics. And
that's just called gravity, Matt.
They're going ahead, and she's riding, and she's talking about how, you know, commanding a war is difficult or something, and it's just
words. It's basically think Baywatch, and so you didn't know what they were actually saying.
Yeah.
You were just following Pamela Anderson
and then
across the beach.
You like cut away, and it's like Game of War, Eternal Fire.
And
it's
your
this
heart
web,
just
it's,
sinks.
It's this iOS game.
Because you know what Game of War is.
It's this iOS game.
No, it's not. It's this crappy iOS game.
Well, okay, fair enough. Yeah.
That's just like my opinion.
It's
man,
literally, if you've
but
seen
it's
this,
true.
If you've seen the Terrence and Phillip micropay South Park episode,
yes.
It's just like that. It's a micropay game.
Horrible.
It's supposed to like handicap people and slow people down that aren't paying. You pay to get more progression and, you know, to get better
Which
progression.
Which is not how you do microtransactions.
Well, no, that's exactly how you do it if you want to make money.
If you want to make money,
obviously, they've made enough money to get Kate Upton.
And spend $70 million on a commercial.
It's ridiculous. It's not even. It doesn't even look that good. It doesn't even. It's not fun.
No, the game. The game's horrible. I keep saying it over and over. No one's listening.
How much money have you sunk into this game?
I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Because I've watched other people play and try to sell me on it, and I'm like, I'm not.
Isn't that how it is? Like someone's like, actually, it's really good. You should play Clash of Clans. I mean. It's fantastic. And the guy's like, yeah, you
Maybe
should do
I
it.
I just have this like hatred of like mobile gaming on like phones and stuff.
I know I played the Mass Effect mobile game.
Did you?
And it was pretty good. It was nice. It was actually like for the tablet, for iPad, and you could like zoom in. It was literally like Unity web player type stuff. It was 3D graphics.
Oh, that's cool. You know what I would actually love to see on a tablet or something?
What?
Supreme Commander.
That'd be nice, but it can barely run on a computer. I mean, it's
slowed down. We got to get better technology.
Is that it? Moving on, let's talk about the Ouya. I know.
Why are we talking about the Ouya, Matt?
So I know a while back, I told everyone, I told you, and we all saw
you
it.
You got really excited.
We got really excited about
like,
the Ouya.
Did the Kickstarter.
I was one of the original Kickstarting backers.
You got an Ouya.
I got an Ouya.
We were all really impressed.
We weren't impressed. It was, unfortunately... it was bad.
Crap.
It was bad. It didn't sell me on the whole thing. But apparently it sold Alibaba, which is, I know that sounds crazy. Yep. Alibaba is a Chinese merchant, like e-commerce store type thing.
You've bought things there before and you felt like you weren't going to get them.
Yeah, I felt like I was going to throw my
money
away.
But then you got them.
And then I got them and it worked. I think I bought my Dreamcast to VGA converter there.
Right.
Because it was the cheapest.
Yeah, obviously.
Alibaba just went ahead and sent $10 million to Ouya, just invested $10 million, one-seventh the cost of the Game of War commercial into...
I like that's going to be our new measure for money is within Game of War commercial units.
Nice. They could have made it a little bit. They could have been $100 million then to make this math a tiny bit easier.
That would have been nice.
But yeah, so that's interesting. I don't know... it's cool that you're going to partner with Alibaba, I guess, for like...
Why?
I don't know.
We have real game systems.
Maybe it's too much money to partner with like Sony or Microsoft or Nintendo because they're the greats, they're the bigs. But Ouya is it's the mini, it's the tiny, it's the minority in this case.
Now I will say I think it still has a potential to go somewhere nice. I just don't. Really, I don't get my hopes up anymore. Maybe I'm just like a depressed person.
It'd be nice if the Ouya could be a Steam box. If the Ouya could be a Steam box.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be great.
If it's a cheap Steam box or whatever, then fine. That'd be fantastic. I'd be great with that. Because it's not really having to do anything. It's really just being a Steam box. I don't want there are better platforms out there. I don't want another OS, another incompatible thing with everything else that's incompatible. I don't want to have to buy if I wanted to play the same game on both platforms. I don't want to buy the same game. I don't want to then have a third platform that I have to buy games for, even if they're Flash-based games, or even if I get to try them before I buy them. The internet's for that. I don't want to do that. So. But yeah, so Ouya, $10 million richer right now.
You're welcome.
And I imagine they're going to kind of more centralize in China at this point. Maybe
that actually may be their strategy, and I suppose that would maybe work a little bit better.
Yeah, maybe. In lieu with sad news, previously this isn't a sad, but it's still kind of upsetting.
I know it's been raining today and everything. It has been very gloomy. So we're just going to have sad news.
Sony has sold SOE. It sold Sony Online Entertainment, which is kind of crazy.
So what's happening to EverQuest?
EverQuest.
I actually don't have an EverQuest account, believe it or not.
They're free. They are free to play, I think. EverQuest, H1Z1, PlanetSide, DC Universe Online, all of the SOE technologies and everything in games, they will continue to function as normal. Development on current on the next gen games or whatever, that'll continue.
It literally
got purchased by or they sold it to an investment firm called Columbus Nova.
Columbus Nova.
And they are
an investment firm.
Yeah, it's an investment firm.
That's why I've never heard of them.
You haven't heard of them.
No.
But they're renaming SOE really to Daybreak Game Company. Literally, Daybreak Game Company. So,
It's like bureaucrats came up with these names.
Yeah, yeah.
Daybreak.
But I think SOE's staff is staying on board to Daybreak. And
well, I'm sure they're all very happy about that.
They're not well.
And they all have jobs tomorrow.
If you remember... not Insomniac Games, but I can't remember what the guys that made Bioshock. That studio effectively closed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, everyone except like 18 people were laid off.
Right.
This is definitely better. Now, in
better to have a job than not.
Than no job. The interesting thing is this has been primarily produced for Windows and PlayStation, like PC and whatever.
Yeah.
On Sony Entertainment. With this new partnership or with this sell or whatever, it will now be being produced for Xbox. So you may see Xbox games for PlanetSide, Xbox for EverQuest.
That could be really interesting.
So it may bring a little bit more to the table, which could be cool.
So it might be a positive spin.
It might be a positive spin. We don't know.
Find out.
Kind of more sad news, though.
Stop it, man.
I'm sorry. We're going to end on a happy note. I can see you. I can hear you.
Just sinking.
I can hear you sinking and sinking.
You're going to start talking about Kurt Cobain next. I'm just going to lose it.
This is the last sad news of the night. Then we're going
to. If you don't know who Kurt Cobain is, I hate you.
Go to the internet. Jump in a pool with a baby.
1994. Bad year for music.
Bad year for music.
Kurt Cobain dies. Justin Bieber is born.
Wow.
Yeah.
Joystick. Joystick, Kotaku, Polygon.
Yeah.
These are a lot of places where we go. You and I go. Gizmodo, Lifehacker. We go to these, and they should be in your repertoire of blogs that you look at. Engadget, Tom's
Hardware.
If you've
been listening to the show this long, you have a repertoire because you are fancy and better than most people.
You know how to use words. Yeah, bookmark, folder.
Let me check my repertoire of game knowledge.
Joystick, for those that don't know, Joystick is owned by AOL.
Which I honestly did not know till we did the story.
A while back, Weblogs Incorporated or whatever was purchased by AOL. And Joystick was part of Weblogs Incorporated.
By the way, AOL's still around.
AOL's still
Where's
around.
My demo disc? I want my demo disc.
You want your free hours of internet. So anyway.
Yes. We used to give out internet in hours, people.
That's it.
It's true.
So Joystick, along with WoW Insider and a few other little websites, they're closing. Joystick is actually shutting down. It will be all of the stuff that Joystick was messing with effectively will be now under Engadget/gaming. Engadget.com/gaming.
Okay. So did Engadget acquire that?
No.
What, no, you said AOL.
AOL
did
just,
a thing.
AOL just them shutting down. Them down. And we're expecting that Engadget/gaming will go ahead
we'll
and
just pick
that up
the slack there.
Well, a lot of Joystick people went to Engadget.
I gotcha.
And now in the final days, in fact, it actually closed yesterday. I think the site's still up, but it won't be for much longer.
Right.
Or certainly no new information will be there. They said, they had 18% decline in readership, and because of that decline, they
went
ahead and shut it down.
That's non-insignificant.
Yeah, that's almost 20%.
I wonder what happened, actually. Wow.
It's just,
people.
And the crazy thing is Joystick, WoW Insider, I can't remember the other one, but then TUAW, those were all owned by AOL, and Yeah, so
that's how AOL stays around.
Massively, I'm sorry, massively. WoW Insider,
okay.
Joystick, which are those three are big or used to be big.
Obviously, yeah, I was about to say Joystick used to be huge.
Obviously, Polygon, Kotaku. You know, gaming journalism comes and goes. Written journalism.
I suppose that's
so
true.
They closed, unfortunate. But we're gonna end on a high note, and then we're gonna cut to a song. We're gonna end out the
Thank
show.
God,
Raspberry Pi 2. This
yes.
is such a high note.
First note on this. $35.
$35
still.
Big takeaway from that.
That's amazing.
Second big high note, everything that you have for your, whether it's a B plus or a B or an A plus or an A or original, it will still work. It is 100% backwards compatible.
I don't know
with
how,
you have.
If you understand, that's kind of crazy.
That's kind of a crazy thing.
Because they didn't they change? Well, they're still running ARM, right?
They're running ARM v7.
ARM v7. So they did change architecture.
The architecture from a, I believe it was a single or a dual core. I think it was single.
I think it was single.
A single core, 700 megahertz CPU with integrated GPU type thing. They changed that to a 900 megahertz quad core. So the crazy thing is when you look at the benchmark numbers, roughly six times as powerful.
That's crazy.
Of the original Raspberry Pi or the B Plus.
Yeah, has a gig of RAM on it.
1 gig of RAM, actual dual channel RAM now.
Yeah, actual. Pay attention, dual channel RAM.
It drops
on something that's like the size of a postage stamp. Okay, not really.
No.
Maybe the about half the size of my cell phone.
Yeah, it's really small. It's like a 3x4.
Three by four?
About the size of an Arduino Uno. Yeah, so the crazy thing is that they ditched the analog video, but you can still get it. Like, you can still get it through pins or whatever. They ditched the analog video. They still kept the micro SD card. They have really nice – they have four USB, just like the B Plus model, and they have Ethernet. It's on a separate bus. It's got the same –
That's a big thing right there.
Yeah.
Ethernet and everything on its own bus.
I said they ditched analog. They still have analog, but it's integrated into that 3.5 millimeter connector. So you need a headphone jack.
Yeah. Those are easily obtainable by the way. And really a good move on their part.
It's really fantastic.
Don't need a big port.
It is great. It is great in every possible
Everyone
way.
Everyone should
in
spend
my,
$35 and get one.
The GPU is the same GPU video core, but
okay.
the processor is six times faster.
Right, right.
So we're pretty
I'm pumped about it.
In fact, let's just put it this way. Boot time on Raspbian Raspbian's the OS on a Model A Plus 34 seconds, Model B Plus about 35 seconds, Raspberry Pi 2 20 seconds. So it shaves
That's
off
awesome.
Roughly 15 seconds of boot time, which is really substantial. It's going
to
do so well.
I hope so.
This
is really where enthusiasts like PC building has gone to now.
Right. Yeah.
Like back in like the 80s and everyone, you know, you had the people in their garages building computers.
Yeah.
The Raspberry Pi is now what that is.
Well, it's
is.
A product of that because,
yeah.
I mean, somebody
it's
said.
It's the legacy
hey,
that's left over
we,
from
we
that.
We had
era.
Arduino, we had the Mini, we had the Micro, we had the ARM architecture. Now let's see how feature packed we can have it into a prototyping board. Because
right.
at this point, you know, you want to do something. It's not that you can't put a computer in it anymore. You can put a full-featured computer that you can write code for and run.
Windows 10.
Windows 10 will run on this. It will
yes.
not be
Microsoft
the
is,
full Windows
right.
10.
But Microsoft is working very closely with Raspberry
yes.
to do this.
It,
so I expect big things from them because I expect big things from Windows 10.
I'd
like for me to be able to play Fallout 3.
I would like –
But
I'm telling
besides
you,
that,
store spaces. I have high hopes for the Raspberry Pi 2, and you know, for $35, and it's available right now. You can go to raspberrypi.org.
While you're listening to us,
and you can get it. We're going to cut to Outbreak by CyberPulse. We're going to come back. We're going to end out the show. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You just heard Outbreak by CyberPulse. We are out of time. It happens every
Almost.
Week.
Yeah.
I wish we could just have
every
a 24,
week
24/7 pirate radio.
What?
We're not really
Take
pirate
over.
Radio. Take over the world with pirate radio.
We'll just
radio.
Lock the door. They'll have to come in and stop us.
I'm pretty sure they
actually
cut
they
the,
can do it externally.
They can cut the power to the
I'm
building.
I'm pretty sure it's just a mouse click,
And
actually.
We're in a room covered with carpet. It'll get hot quick.
That would probably be terrible.
That's that
honestly.
Would be
wow.
really bad. Before we go, let's go ahead and drop a little bit more knowledge on you. We're here every week. So if you want to listen to us next week, just tune in, 90.9 FM, KSLU. Remember that. Tune in at 9 p.m. I forgot the time for a minute.
Wow.
Tune in at 9 p.m., 9 to 10 p.m. That's when we're on, and you can hear us all again. If you can't wait and you want to hear maybe some backlogs of the shows and, you know, find kind of figure out what we've been talking about, what's been happening, we have a website. We have all of our backlogs for the last, I guess, four seasons, two to three, maybe four and a half seasons of episodes backlogged as well, and some mini-sodes, some mini-podcasts, and some written reviews and stuff like video reviews and stuff like that. What is the website, Bear?
ExPpoints.com. Remember to double tap the P.
We're also on social media. If you want to like us, subscribe to us, poke us.
Poke us?
I don't.
We get poked now?
I can't remember what all.
Wasn't that like a MySpace thing?
Like, subscribe, poke. No, Facebook. You can poke people on Facebook.
Okay, it's Facebook.
If you want to be our friends.
I'm not all fancy with the social.
Or join any of our groups, go to expoints.com/social. You can check out Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, Steam. We have a Steam group with some Space Engineer servers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We are also on iTunes and Stitcher. So if you don't want to stream directly from the website, you can stream from iTunes or download from iTunes or Stitcher. iTunes, obviously, for
iOS
Mac,
devices.
Right.
And
then Stitcher for everybody else.
But wow.
You can also get the MP3s off the site.
MP3s, yeah. You can download them directly.
So
remix our show for us.
There's that. Oh,
I mean, it's
man.
Just talk, actually.
That's
because
yeah.
we have to cut out the music for legal reasons.
We have to cut out the music for legal reasons. But you know what? Everything's available on Spotify. And
we used to, actually,
in our earlier versions, we used to include the Spotify. I used to have a Spotify playlist.
Yeah.
But it just got really annoying making playlists every week.
Too bad there's not a way to automatically generate that.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Or if we could just get a license. We just need to spend one Game of War commercials worth on licensing.
If people would go to Patreon and give us money.
Oh, yeah. We have to talk about Patreon. So Patreon is something that we kind of started, I guess, like...
We didn't start Patreon.
No. We started a Patreon account a couple months ago. Patreon's really nice for patrons like yourself, listeners, to go and give us small amounts of money to do hugely dumb things. We will use that money to help the show out, get bumper stickers, create t-shirts. We will create a Teespring at some point and allow people to buy shirts. But
it'll be awesome.
It will be fantastic. We have all this awesome stuff that we could be doing. Check out Patreon.
Pay
to
us
see.
To do ridiculous things.
Right. If you don't want us to do ridiculous things, if you care about our pride, we have a direct PayPal donation link that you can follow.
That'd be boring.
And of course, we also have some affiliation stuff on the website.
We do.
Where if you wanted to use that accounts for cheap, like say $99 a year or $9 a month, which is actually really good. That's a good price through news hosting. You can do that. If you want an Audible, try audible.com. We have an affiliation through audible.com where you can get a free audiobook if you go there. There's a few other things that you could check out also through Usenet Junction.
If you go to expoints.com, you can check all that out.
You can check all of that out. We are out of time. We're going to close out with a song. This is going to be Metroid Metal with the Prime theme. You are hearing it here, as far as I know, exclusively on Experience Points.
Probably.
I've been MG.
Possible fact, I've been Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.